Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Well, hello again, everybody. Welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, November 20th, 2013, and this is, what, our 51st show. So we're half a century. We've just made it past half a century. I'm so thrilled you've tuned in. I really appreciate it. And there is a lot to talk about this week. I mean, just a ton of stuff. I'm going to kick right off with something that I thought was kind of interesting was the MIT Technology Review, which is a fantastic, fantastic magazine that focuses on business and technology and how those two intersect. And it's so worth reading. It really is. They've got a great site at technologyreview.com. And they had an article earlier this week that just made me chuckle. The article was titled subtitled "How the Definition of E-commerce is Changing." And that's not the part that made me chuckle. What made me chuckle was the actual title of the article was "It's All E-commerce Now," which anybody who's listened to the show or read the blog or seen me talk since about 2 years ago knows that "It's All E-commerce" is one of my core trends that I have really put a lot of focus on. And I'm okay. I think that's great. I think it's nice of them to catch up. Thank you very much, MIT, for playing along now. But I do think it's important because it is true. It is all e-commerce, and I think it's wonderful that others are beginning to recognize the importance of e-commerce and beginning to recognize the importance, the shifting trend. I shouldn't even say the importance. I should say the fact that this has become such a big trend. Now, in MIT's case, they really talk about whether you want to call it omnichannel or pervasive commerce. Their whole point is that e-commerce as a thing doesn't exist much any longer. In fact, I did an episode in August or thereabouts of this very podcast where, you know, we said e-commerce, retail, it's all just shopping. And I think that's right. Now, the really cool part about that, and the reason I'm going to spend some time on this today, is because it is critical to the way you grow your business. It is so important to how you do what you do. The most recent U.S. retail data was pretty good. And interestingly, people still talk about the fact that e-commerce is only, quote-unquote, about 6% of retail. Of course, it is so much larger than that, and there are many, many signs that that's the case. One I wrote about earlier this week on the blog, where there's all these examples of Walmart and Target and Kohl's and other major retailers setting up labs or innovation groups or whatever you want to call them in Silicon Valley, because they recognize how important technology is to their growth as businesses. And while e-commerce as a channel, as an independent channel, is quote-unquote only 6% of retail, the growth of e-commerce is up about 16% year-on-year. The growth of mobile commerce is up 24% year-on-year. And so clearly those channels, those devices, are playing an increasingly large role in your customers' browse, shop, buy, retain models. I've said this before, that mobile makes commerce more frictionless. It makes e-commerce more frictionless or more friction-free because it's right there at hand for your customers. And in addition to, you know, traditional brick and mortar retailers like Walmart and Target and Kohl's setting up shops in Silicon Valley, a lot of Silicon Valley folks are setting up shop in a more traditional brick and mortar type way. Not necessarily with stores, but you see it with things like eBay and Walmart setting up lockers for people to ship to. You see it with things like Amazon offering Price Lookup app, so you can go ahead and compare prices right there. And of course, one of the most popular apps out there for this sort of thing is eBay's Red Laser, which again is a price scanner, but also directs you to deals nearby to where you are. And one of the things that that has led to, we've seen this going back even a couple of years ago. Obviously, we all know that Black Friday is coming up. Actually, it's a week from this Friday. But the really interesting bit is a few years ago, in the late noughties, or whatever we call them, you know, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, people talked about, in addition to Black Friday, they talked about Cyber Monday. And as early as 2 years ago, people realized Cyber Monday was becoming less of a thing because customers would go out and shop all weekend long, and then all Mondays were big bumps from the weekend before because they'd gone out and they'd done all their shopping. Well, now with mobile, I think this is going to be a huge year for mobile, because instead of people going home and doing their buying on Monday, they may do it in store from their phone, or at least add it to a wish list or things like that. Now, of course, I've talked before about the growth of analytics in a retail context, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that. 9to5 Mac has a great article talking about iBeacon and how Apple's going to put that in all their stores, and they're putting it there also to convince other retailers to put it in their stores. And that's something very much worth watching. iBeacon is like NFC, near field communications, and it's a way for retailers to track and learn about their customers more effectively. It does a number of things, but it's really focused on how can we observe, how can we offer more targeted messaging to customers in store, you know, the minority report type event activity where you're seeing an advertisement based on what we know about you because we can identify certain things. So we're going to see a lot of that. And while there are certainly going to be privacy concerns and all those sorts of things, those are just kinks to be worked out. You know, the growth that we're going to see here is going to be very, very large. One of the reasons is because of the increasing number of millennials who have entered the workforce and entered the cohort of shoppers. Forrester has a great piece from about a month ago or so that talks about the rising M-commerce, mobile commerce potential of digital natives, millennials, people who've grown up with the web and grown up with mobile their whole lives. And I think that's spot on. I think that's something that as we get into 2014 and into 2015, we're going to see a lot more of because of the growth of millennials and because of their increasing comfort level with mobile and because of their parents' increasing comfort level with mobile because of what they see their kids do. Now, of course, one of the things that holds this back is that still today, payment is a little weird. You can't really pay on a mobile phone easily. Now, PSFK has an interesting article that talks about how new payment methods are focusing more on people than on passwords. And you can see examples of that. If anybody who's got an iPhone 5S and its Touch ID mechanism knows you can go ahead and pay just by using the Touch ID, the little sensor in the phone that can read your fingerprint. Apple's been doing things like that for a while, admittedly with a password. I highlighted, well over a year ago, how you can use Easy Pay in store to just scan items and take them away. Well, of course, if you can do it with your thumb, that's much simpler than typing in your password. Even more interestingly, you've got players like Coin who are coming along that allow you to store your payment information in the cloud, but it's all readable via a single card. And the reason that's really cool is because consumer behavior then doesn't have to change. One of the things that I think limits mobile payments today is that to pay with your mobile phone, you have to do something different than you've done all your life or all your adult life. We're all really comfortable pulling out a credit card and swiping the credit card and saying, okay, I'm going to hold my phone up to a reader or I'm going to scan something or I'm going to type in a password. That's a really different behavior. So something like Coin may solve for that problem. And in fact, Google Wallet, which is Google's payment method for mobile, has now come out with their own card called, and these guys are naming geniuses, Google Wallet Card, which is a debit card tied to your Google Wallet account that lets you go ahead and interact directly just like that. And that's one of the reasons why another trend we need to watch is the fact that mobile payments are getting big, but they have so much room to grow. I mean, nothing but upside. And that's going to change the way you interact with your customers because they're going to be able to pay in different ways. They're going to be able to shop in different ways. Easier, faster, more seamlessly, more friction-free. And of course, anytime we talk about a trend, one of the important things to talk about is what do you do based on that? And there are really a handful of tips. Some of these I talked about earlier this week in an article in one of my Travel Tuesday posts. But the key steps are, one, making sure your site is responsive. And what I mean by responsive doesn't just mean that the site scales appropriately for a mobile device. It also means that your site layout should emphasize the content that matters to mobile shoppers. Things like phone number, the address to your location, directions to your location. If I'm on a mobile device, those are things that I want to know. Your site layout should always be dictated by the content that matters in a given customer's context. And obviously on mobile, knowing how to call you, knowing how to get there are going to be pretty key. We also know that mobile and social are very deeply connected, something I've talked about a number of times, both here on the podcast and on the blog. And so you need to make sure you simplify content sharing. Make it easy for your customers to say, oh, okay, I want to share this with my wife. I want to share this with my spouse. I want to share this with my significant other or my friend to get their feedback before I go ahead and make a purchase. So the more easy you make it for people to share that content, the more easy you make it for them to buy. Obviously, as we've talked about, as I just talked about a moment ago, simplify payment options. The more ways you make it possible for people to pay, the more likely it is they will do so. And of course, last, don't forget to continue to build your brand. As I talked about in last week's show, mobile will bring back branding in a big way. That's really going to be critical. So you want to continue to build your brand story. You want to tell a good story about your brand. I've written in the past a couple of posts about how you can build your brand story and what a brand story really is that I would highly encourage you to check out. And they will both be in the show notes. All of this will be in the show notes. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are about out of time for this week. So I'm going to just go ahead and leave you with those tips again, making sure your site is responsive, simplify the ability for people to share your content, simplify their ability to pay, and focus on building your brand so that people can search for you and find you easily and understand the values you have and the value you offer to customers really, really well. All right. So with that, we're going to wrap up for this week. As ever, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I want to remind you, you can subscribe to Thinks Out Loud. You can do that at the blog by going to timpeter.com/podcast and just look for a subscribe link in any episode. You can go ahead and subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher or any of your favorite podcatchers by doing a search for Tim Peter Thinks or Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud. You can find the show notes for this episode at timpeter.com/podcast. And of course, if you have any comments, questions, concerns, thoughts, or anything you think I should know, by all means, please do email me, and you can do that at podcast@timpeter.com. Again, that's podcast@timpeter.com. I want to thank you once again for tuning in. It is always great to have you here. I look forward to seeing you right back here on Thinks Out Loud again next week, and I hope you have a fantastic weekend, everybody. Take care.